Please turn your Bibles this morning to the New Testament book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read one verse, and that is verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And we are continuing in the series of healing and hope in an ever-present God this morning. And we're looking at this morning a word for times of trouble. You know, many times when we are experiencing trouble in our lives, we need a word. We're like the king in the Old Testament that asks, is there a word from the Lord? Is there a word for the Lord for me? Is there a word from the Lord for our nation? So, in times of trouble, we need a word. Now, as born-again believers, as Christians, where we go for a word, it's not to man-made philosophies. It is not to humanistic thoughts. But it is to the Word of God that we go for answers and to seek a word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your precious word, and we humble ourselves before your word. And Lord, we ask during these times of which we live in, Lord, that you will speak to us, Lord, in such a way that we know that it's a sure word from you. Oh God, how we as your people, how we need to share your word to a lost and dying generation. God, we know that if you tarry, we're one generation away from being a country without any Christian influence. God, we see it in our politicians. We see it in our government. We see it in our leaders. Oh God, we need a word. How we need to come back to your word as your people. God, we do give you praise. We do thank you for your word. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. A word for times of trouble. It says in this great verse, in verse 16 again, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So it is the word of Christ that we're seeking. It is the word of Christ that we need to allow to dwell in our hearts richly in all wisdom. So it is the Word of Christ. He is the author of the Bible. The Word of God is the inspired Word of God. And it tells us in John, the Gospel of John, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it is the Word of Christ. He is the author of Scripture. Scripture is God-breathed. It is inspired. So He is the author of the book, and He is also the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith. You see, we have no faith if it was not for the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So He is the author of the book. He is the author of this inspired word. And it says that it is to be richly in wisdom in us. And in other words, it is a treasure. The Word of God is a treasure for you and I to receive and to look into and to admire and to love, because it's a treasure. It is to be richly in us. And this word means to inspire us, to influence us in a great way. Now, the Word of God is to influence us and not the world. Okay? Now, when we think of the word influence, it is to control us. It is when we come to a decision or when we are in troubled times, we go back to see what God says about it in His Word and not what some philosopher may say. Influence us. Just this Friday, I was under the influence. Let me explain. I had a test done, and they had an IV. See that big bruise on my hand? Oh, man. Had an IV. And I go, oh, please do it for me. Thank you. Had that IV hanging over that bedside, and you know, fix and go through that test, and a lady comes, stands in front of me, and says, I'm going to administer the stuff. I said, well, you're my bestest friend today. And she squirts two tubes in that IV of stuff, and I'm like there looking at my hand. And I said, well, I didn't do nothing. And that's the last thing I remember. Honestly. For most of the day. And it was Alicia's job to drive me, and I gave her my cell phone because I knew that I was going to be loopy the rest of the day. Now, she went slack on her job a few times because I think I talked to some of you on the phone Friday. Whatever I said, it don't just pay it no mind, because I was under the influence. We went to Academy. We went to Tractor Farm Supply, and I bought some things I don't remember buying. I was under the influence of the good stuff. I mean, it must have been some good stuff. You see? In relation of that, to how that influenced me in such a way that I really don't remember much about Friday, the Word of God is to influence us richly. It's a treasure that we cannot do without. It's a treasure. We just simply, as God's people, cannot do without God's Word. Does it influence your decisions in that way? Richly, in all wisdom. It's the Word of Christ. And the Word of Christ is the Word of truth. It's the Word of truth because the author is the truth. It's the Word of truth, so we must believe it because it is true. Pilate, there at the mock trial of Jesus, our Savior, he was speaking to the truth in flesh. And Pilate, being a government person in the Roman Empire, he knew a little bit about philosophy, so he started wanting to start asking philosophical questions to Jesus, because Jesus mentioned the truth. And Pilate asked this question, what is truth? And that's what all the philosophers are seeking after. Isn't it sad that a man who asked what is truth was actually looking at the truth, and he didn't realize it? God in the flesh, the Word of God in flesh, was standing before him. You see, the Word of God is truth. I was traveling the night of the debate, but I got a radio station that was airing the debate, our presidential debate, Wednesday night. And, you know, it seems like when our president was speaking, it just, the spirit in me saying, that's a lie, he's lying. It's a lie. It's built on lies. The whole Democratic Party is based on abortion, same-sex marriage, anti-God, Israel's not our friend, and we can go on and on and on. Maybe I'm not being socially acceptable this morning, but that's what the Democratic Party's based on, and if your base is based on that, you're based on a bunch of lies. It's all a lie, because your foundation is wrong. Start with God. They're all politicians. But when your foundation is a lie, then you cannot speak truth. Folks, the Word of God, it is truth. People have set out to prove that it's wrong and there's lies in it and it contradicts one another. But God, the Holy Spirit, inspired people from a span of 2,000 years, and there are no contradictions in the Word of God because it is true, and it all speaks of the Word that became flesh. It all speaks of Jesus Christ. It's truth. We must believe it. Also, the Word of Christ, secondly, is the Word of life. It's the Word of life. We must obey it because it is the Word of life. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundantly. And it's through His Word. If you want to live a life that is godly and righteous before God with His help, you get in the Word of God. It's life. It is a mandate. There are the commandments of God that we must live by as God's people. But it seems like that we sometimes treat the Word of God as if it is take it or leave it. Either you can believe it or not believe it. Or it depends on what my opinion says about what the Word of God says. Folks, that's not how we are to approach the Word of God. The Word of God is life. It is the commandments of God. They are mandates. It is life to us to obey what God says. The Word of Christ. Also, not only is it the Word of life, but it's also the Word of salvation. The Word of salvation, we must love it. We must love it because it is salvation. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It is to influence us to faith in Jesus Christ. And then we live for Him. Matter of fact, look in the next verse. Verse 17, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's how it is to influence us. And now that we have faith in Jesus Christ, we live for Him, and whatever we do is for Jesus Christ to bring Him glory because we're saved. By His Word. You see, we must love it because it's the Word of salvation. It's like newlyweds. Don't you remember, if you've been married a while, once upon a time, men and women, that you were so eager to learn about your spouse. You wanted to be with him or her. And you wanted to learn all you could about your spouse because you love them. And see, that love in a marriage ought to grow. It takes work. Just like we are to love the Word of God, just like when we came to Christ, we love them and we're so eager to learn more and learn more, and that love continues to take work on our part. We become lazy sometimes as Christians. But it takes work, it takes study, it takes loving the Word of God, eager to know more about Him. The Word of Christ also is the Word of promise. The Word of promise. We must rejoice in it because it is the promises of God fulfilled in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God is through Jesus Christ. And we are to rejoice in it. All the promise of God that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He promises us that He will never leave us nor forsake us as His children. Amen? That's something we can rejoice in. That is something that we can stand on, the promises of God. Because He is the same yesterday, the same today, and He'll be the same tomorrow because He keeps His promises. Something to rejoice in. And you know what else He promises? That He's coming back. He's coming back. You just check out what's happening over there right now around Israel and see what's happening on the world stage. He's coming back, folks. It's a word of promise. And this promise, this rejoicing, is to dwell in our hearts in such a way that it changes us. That in such a way that it changes us, that whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in Christ Jesus for His glory. That's a change, isn't it? It changes us, and we rejoice in it. Again, let's read the verse again. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, encouraging one another through God's Word, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the rejoicing part. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It doesn't matter to me if it's the old rugged cross or one of the newest songs there's made. If it is rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and I can understand what they're singing, I'm going to rejoice in it. I will rejoice in it. Because it's bringing Him glory. And it to dwell in us. Yesterday, we had Papa's surprise birthday. I don't know if it was a surprise or not. Alicia still says it was, but I was still kind of had cobwebs, I think. Had a surprise birthday party, and our family got to be there. Our children, all of our children. And Miss Abby was there, our daughter-in-law. I wanted to tell her before she told us that she was carrying a child, I wanted to say a couple of times, Abby, you look pregnant to me, but I didn't. You're not supposed to do that as a man. But she was there. And you know, all know that she is carrying our grand boy. He's a grand boy. And her tummy's out to right here. And, you know, women are beautiful in a special way when they're carrying a child. Y'all know that? Beautiful. Especially when it's your wife and she's carrying your child. But Abby was there. Listen to me now. She's carrying our grandbaby. And it's there in her tummy. And how God designed it all. And God's still creating that little grand boy. And you know what? That baby is in Abby. And it has already influenced the whole entire family. Here I am talking about it to you. It influenced us yesterday. And I mean, Abby, are you comfortable? Abby, are you supposed to eat that? Abby this, Abby that. You know, it has already influenced us. It's influenced Lewis and her. And especially when that baby comes, this changes, right? Changes everything. Okay. The Word of Christ is to dwell in us in such a way that it is on our mind, it's in our hearts, and it influences us and changes us even more than what a baby does. God's people, we got to get back to this, especially in times of trouble. We got to get back to this. The church has to come back to the Word of God. Let it dwell in our hearts in times of trouble. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your precious Word. God, I pray as Cooper Baptist Church, Lord, that we will even more in these last days, as we see the day approaching, God, that we will be in your Word more. Because it is sure, it is true. We can decide from the very basis of anything in this world by how they treat your Word. Oh God, may we in our homes, Lord, and in our lives come back to our first love. And may your Word richly dwell in our hearts in all wisdom for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.